You have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter number 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to preach on this thought tonight, or today, this morning. God help me. Don't get ahead of myself. On no kingdom, how about a church? Amen? No kingdom, how about a church? As we look at this and we see that the Lord comes down, he comes to be the King of glory, he came King of kings and Lord of lords, but the people denied and rejected him as their Lord. Amen? They didn't want him to be their king. They didn't want him to take away from them their prestige and their honor and their glory. They wanted to maintain it themselves. They wanted a kingdom. They wanted the kingdom to come. Amen. But they wanted it in their own terms, and they wanted it in their own conditions. Amen. You can't have the kingdom of God. You can't have the things of God in your terms and your conditions. Amen. They have to be brought into the aspect of under God's authority and God's rule. Amen. They wanted to try to bring it in by their own efforts. Does that sound kind of familiar? That's kind of the way the world is today. We want all the good things of God, but we want it through our own efforts. We don't want to put our faith and trust in. We don't want to believe that God can. We want to think that we can. Amen. Jesus told us specifically, he said, you can do nothing without me. Amen. How many of you have tried to do stuff without him and messed it up? Amen. Been there and done that. Got the t-shirt to prove it. Praise the Lord. But I begin to realize that when we, and I said in Sunday school, you know, if we had to seek God's face in the little things, we wouldn't have to worry so much about the big things. Those big problems that come up in our life wouldn't be such big problems if we'd seek him and seek him early. Amen? See, the world's still looking. They're looking for a golden age. Even in the time of the Pharisees, they were looking for a golden age. They were looking for a time, praise God, and a time of peace, a time of prosperity. Amen? Has anything changed over the last 2,000 years? People are still looking for the same things. They still, the same aspects and things that we think about are still just as valid today as they were then. And that's what they were desired. That's what they were looking for. It wasn't a strong desire and a longing, praise God, like they should have had. But what their strong desire and longing was to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They should. Now, I've told you before, the Pharisees, they knew down to the almost the day and the hour when Christ would be born, when the Messiah would come. Yet they denied and rejected him. They went into it with their eyes wide open. They should have known, but yes, they rejected him. He said, preacher, it blows my mind. I just can't imagine how people could do that. I don't know why are they doing it today. Why are we neglecting and rejecting the authority of Lord Jesus Christ in our lives? We run and seek and pursue to try to have, happiness, joy, and peace in our lives. But we look at, and we're looking for it in all the wrong places. Amen? You say, well, preacher, if I can get a really good job, make something of myself, it won't amount to a hill of beans if you don't have Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. If Jesus Christ isn't that priority in your life, remember I told you, priorities, plural, is an oxymoron. There's no such thing as priorities. Actually, that word didn't even come into existence, I think, sometimes in the 1960s, before they finally put it in a dictionary. Because it didn't make any sense. To me, it still doesn't make any sense. Amen. To try to have priorities. A priority is the most important thing. And I've told you before, and I'll tell you, as long as I'm here, praise God, our priority ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be Him as our Lord and Savior, where He gives us our help. I mean, He has everything. Everything that the Father has is His. And when we seek Him, when we get Him, remember the story of the son? The son that they drew the picture of, and they had to auction. They put the son up there to auction. Amen. The son had died in the war. And the father said, auction off the son first. They didn't want the son. They wanted the Rembrandts. They wanted the high dollar, the good stuff, supposedly. But the father told the auctioneers, he put in his will, said, you auction off for the son first. And they said, no, we don't want these others, but they auctioned off son first, and they bid on them. And nobody would bid on the son. Nobody wanted the son. It's the same way today. Nobody wants the son. He's not important. He's not a priority. But he said, who'll take it? And the old gardener worked for the man all his life and knew the son, had a relationship with him. He throwed up his hand. He said, I'll take the son. Amen. And the auctioneer said, going once, going twice, sold, praise God. And the gardener got the son. The old auctioneer folded everything up, put it back in his briefcase. He said, the auction's over. He said, what about these high dollar paintings? He said, the one that got the son got it all. Amen. I tell you today, young, the one that gets the son, the one that gets Jesus, praise God, you get it all. All that heaven has today is at His disposal. Amen. Everything that you need, praise God, to get you through this world and into eternity with Him, praise God, He has it for you. I can't understand how people can. Hey, listen, I don't know about you, but as a parent, I know how much I love my children. And I'm going to do all I can to help them to be successful. Amen. As Old Fest said, to high for the kingdom. When these little old grandbabies look at us and blink their little eyes and say, Papa, I love you. Amen. Just sell all I got here. What do you need? Amen. It's yours. My kids, I don't think that's funny. Amen. They said, you was always strict on us. You didn't give us nothing. Amen. Hey, they weren't paupers either. Amen. But praise God, that's our God in heaven. Our Heavenly Father loves us, loves me and you, praise God. And He's there to represent us, praise God, to meet all of our needs. Amen. According to His perfect will and His perfect way. And He owns it all. It's all His. Praise God. So we see it. But we see the world. They got their longings and their desires. But they're longing in His desire not to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the power, His magnificence. Amen. I long to see a Savior return. I want to see my Savior, praise God. I'm looking for a soon coming Savior, praise God. I'm looking for Him to step out with a shout and a trump and to come up hither. I'm looking to be in His presence. I'm looking to see Him not too long from now. He said, preacher, you looking to die? No, I'm looking to live. Amen. I'm not looking to die. I'm looking to live. I'm desiring to live and live for Him. Amen. That's my priority. I love Him with all my heart. But our diplomats, their desires and the desires of the diplomats and the rulers of this world, they're not a desire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they want a time of peace. They want peace. That's what all of them's talking about, right? You hear it on TV. I said, the presidents want peace, and these other leaders are all talking about peace. But you don't have any peace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He is that only place of peace. So we see them as they go up here, and they go to, Jesus takes His disciples, and He takes them up to Caesarea Philippi. It's the farthest point of Judaism. He gets them up to the place called Panias, and He gets them there in Caesarea, and He sets them down, and He begins to ask them a question. And He begins to ask them, He said, who do men say that I am? Amen? Excuse me. He said, who do men say that I am? So we see what's taking place here. We see over 2,000 years, and everything's about the same. People haven't really changed their thinking or opinions. And in only Matthew here, we see that God Almighty, He takes these folks up, and he's going to mention to them a thing called the church. Anybody know what a church is? Amen. I ain't a hand in here when I... Amen. Does any... Hello? Hello? Does anybody in here know what a church is? Amen? The church, the ecclesia, the called out. That's what a church is. Those that's called out for the glory of God. Amen. And Matthew's going to begin to talk about this church. He's going to be talking about that's called out, that's called unto himself. So how come? Because the kingdom had been rejected. Amen. They had done rejected the king. When you reject the king, you reject the kingdom. Hello? Just keep that in mind when you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. You say, well, He's going to be that one day, preacher. No, He is that right now. Amen. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in all His glory. There's nothing else that needs to be attained by Him. He attained it all. When the Father, Brother Robert, said, I am well pleased at His Son. Amen. It was done. It was finished. Praise the Lord. He's sitting at the right hand to make intercession for me and you. But they had rejected the kingdom. So Jesus changes His teaching. Amen. He changes His teaching and He starts pointing to a church instead of a kingdom. Now, a lot of the Old Testament prophets, they don't mention a church. They see the cross of Calvary and they see right past it to the second coming of the Lord. They didn't see the church in the middle. They didn't see that age of grace that we're living in now. Glory, hallelujah. Thank God for grace. Amen. Ain't it a marvelous thing, the grace of God, that unmerited favor that we couldn't earn? You couldn't be good enough to deserve God's grace, but praise God, He bestows it upon you on purpose because He loves us. He cares for us. Praise His holy name. So we're looking to a church, a magnificent church, instead of a kingdom. Amen. You say, well, why? Because people said, in Luke 19, it's talking about those parables of the things that the pounds and the things of that. And they're talking about that one that was the ruler that would come and give them give them the things and he'd go away. But they said, listen, we'll not have this man to reign over us. That's kind of the way the world is today. We'll not have this man Jesus to reign over us. I'm not going to give the Lord authority over my life. I'm not going to make Him my priority. Amen. Because I've got all these oxymorons, you know, these priorities that I have to fill first. Jesus said of the Father, He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's the right eyes of God. He said, all these things shall be added unto you. If you want to get the goodness of God, praise God, hey, you just got to seek Him first. If we start making Him the priority in our life, listen, young people, you're going to go out and try to make a living, find a job, and all He said, you got to make Jesus first. Amen. You got to get in His house, get in there and serve Him and work for Him and lift Him up and praise Him. Fall in a choir and sing praises unto Him. Hey, the church is a place where we practice for heaven. Amen. I don't know about you, but Brother Bill, when I get there, I want to be the best I can be for Him. Yeah. Amen. I want my last days to be my best days for Jesus. Amen. I want to tell people about Him. I want to lift Him up. I want to praise Him. I want Him to get glory out of my life. Amen. I want to see His church. The church was a universal call. He takes them up that place, it goes Panias, Caesarea Philippi. And He begins to ask them questions. The kingdom had done been rejected. And Jesus takes them up there, changes His teaching. He begins to ask the church. He begins to point to a church instead of a kingdom. And He begins to ask them these questions. Amen. He said it was that church, that called out organization, called out by Christ. Why would He have to have a church? Why would He have to call people unto Himself? Because a whole lot of the world were still in unbelief. A whole lot of worlds, still don't believe in Lord Jesus Christ. It blesses my heart because I was reading about the people of Iran. And they've been under the hammer of Islam and under the Ayatollahs for over 47 years. But said in that place right now, Brother Jeff, said there's a calling out of the people of Iran. And they're falling in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking for a deliverer. Amen. And said that these people in the underground, they're being saved by the thousands. People are becoming Christians. Amen. That God is go over somebody or jump up, just take a shout. Hey, take a spell. Take a lap, praise God. Because he said these folks being saved by the multitudes. They're being called out, praise God, of that adversity, called out. And pray, hey, it may cost them their life over there, become a Christian, but they're, praise God, that's good. That's becoming their priority, and they're ready for that. Amen. To die for Christ. Praise God. So he says the world doesn't want him. The world's not looking for him. The world won't believe in him. Amen. You say, preacher, I just don't understand that. Here we go again. I just don't know how can people not believe in Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what same reason you don't. Amen. The same reason you don't believe. These people are sitting in the sound of my voice. They don't believe that Jesus is coming back like he said. Amen. Hello, come on. Amen. They don't believe that he's coming back. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm not going to call my Savior a liar. Amen. He said, I'm coming again. If he said, I'm coming again, I'm going to believe that he is coming. Hey, that was out of his mouth. If you'll read that in John chapter 14, that's in red writing. That means Jesus himself said it. And if Jesus himself said it, then I believe it. I'm looking for a soon coming Savior. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ in all his splendor and all his glory. Amen. I'm not going to deny him or reject him. But he said there was a whole bunch that wouldn't, because he gave an offering. He built a church because a whole lot of people wouldn't believe in him. But he said, for those that would, amen, for those that would, it goes out a call for the Jew and like this, the Gentile. Amen. Jesus came first to the Jew. He said, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. He came, praise God. He brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. He offered salvation to whosoever would believe on him. Amen. Talking about, Charles reading about predestination this morning. We're predestined, praise God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God made it a whosoever salvation. The opportunities there for who. We are free moral agents to make your own choices. Let me just say something this morning. Young people, hey, don't count on your mom and daddy. I don't know how many people I've went up and down this valley and talked to, and they'd say, well, preacher, you know, my mama was a good godly woman. My papa was a deacon. My papa loved the Lord. My sister, but I'm going to tell you, praise God, you're a free moral agent. You have to make that choice yourself. You can't get under them skirt tails of mama or papa, brother. You can't get on the skirt tail of mom or daddy. You can't get in on the skirt tail of brother or sister. You got to be born again. Amen. He said, who do men say that I am? He said, well, so they're saying all the things of the world, the same things that the world would say today if we would ask them. Said, oh, he's a great man. He must have been well educated because he knew a lot of stuff. Amen. Said, hey, I believe he was one of those great prophets. Amen. He was a prophet, all right. He was the greatest prophet that ever was because he is the Lord God of heaven. Amen. Praise his holy name. But he's saying that, he said, I'm going to build a church because that's what God's going to do. That's what he wants to do because all men would not believe on him. Amen. It's time that we believe on Lord Jesus Christ. It's time for us to get in. Amen. So the Lord would ask them this question. Amen. What is it? What is the church? It's something that you belong to. Amen. It's something that you belong to. You are called out and called into the church to be part of it, to be partakers in it. Amen. It's a very important aspect in your life. The salvation and the church, praise God, should be the most important decision that you'll ever make. To receive the Lord Jesus Christ and to be part of the church. His church. Amen. A glorious church. Praise the Lord. This brother we've got here this morning from Texas, he's probably got a good Bible-believing church in Texas. Amen. Amen. It's part of the church. We are all part of the same church. Amen? Come on now. Part of the same. Those that Bible believers, those that believe on Lord Jesus Christ, the saving of the soul. Amen. Salvation brings us into the church. We're called out of this world, called out of our vileness and our wickedness, and called those that were vile and wicked are called unto salvation. And we begin through the product process of sanctification with God begins to clean us up and clean us out. Amen. I think sometimes we try to, I don't know why I'm going this direction this morning. Sometimes we try to, it's like a pig that you take to the fair. You know, you get it out of the pig pen and out of the slop and out of the muck and you clean her up real good and you polish her up and you paint her up and you clean her up and you paint her toes all, black them all up so everything looks just perfect and you take her down there to the fire and you put her up on display. And you may even win first prize. Amen. That may be the prettiest old sow there. Amen. But praise God when you get her back down to the house. Hello? I mean, the outside's pretty. Man, one of them old white halls, praise God, that pretty white, polished and clean. And when she puts on a show and she wins first prize, but you get her back down there at the house, you take that lead line off of her and you throw her back out there, guess what she does? The first thing she does is goes and rolls in the mud. Amen. What times do they think we want to clean up the outside? But the inside's still vile. The inside's still full of corruption. Amen. We worry about what people look like and how they act on the outside. Praise God, what they need is Jesus on the inside. If you're here this morning, you don't have Jesus on the inside, then you're running on empty. Hello? Amen. Praise God. Hey, they missed out on the kingdom. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you a church. Amen. I just wondered this morning, do you want to be part of the church? You say, well, preacher, you know what people say? Well, preacher, I really ain't got time for that. And it's amazing because people will make time for anything they really want to do. You can go down there and look at the soccer field this morning, and all kind of parents have made time to get to the soccer field. But they don't have time to go to church. Amen. What are they telling little Johnny? What are they telling little Sally? They're telling them that the soccer field is more important than the house of God. Amen. Got to have a priority. It's Jesus Christ the Lord. Got to have priority, which is His church. His body, praise God. Body one in Christ Jesus. Amen. But they said that what we do, how we think, praise God, it determines who we are. If we think on the Lord Jesus Christ, we think on the things of God. That's what He asked them here. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Amen. Who do they say? They say He brought up all the worldly things that He could be. All the worldly things that the world thinks that He is. You know, a lot of the world thinks that Jesus Christ is a lifeline. You know, when you get messed up, you put yourself out there, you get all messed up, and you know, you throw out a lifeline, you want Him to grab it and drag you in. Amen. That's not the way He works. He's not a God that you put in some box. And you put Him in there and you hang on to Him. You put Him on the shelf. And then when you need Him, you say, oh Lord, could you come out here and help me a minute? I got myself in a mess. He may just say, hey, you got yourself in a mess. You get yourself out of it. Amen. He said, I'm good at doing it like old Nehemiah. He said, I'm good at doing a good work. Why should I leave it and come down to you? Amen. What are you trying to do for me? Hello, something to think about, it ain't. Amen? We ought to decide that we're going to ask God to help us and let Him help us in every endeavor that we pursue. And God be the glory. Amen? He said, He's not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed of begging bread. People say, well, preacher, if I don't work all these hours, I just won't be able to provide for my family. Let me just tell you something, friend. If you don't put God first, you don't put Jesus first in your life, you won't be able to provide for your family anyway. Proverbs said it'll be like taking your finances and putting them in a bag with holes in it. Amen. You put it in, stuff it in fast you can, it's running out the bottom. Hello? Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Amen. God Almighty is there. He's helping us if we'll let Him. He'll take and make every penny count. Amen. For God's glory, praise His name. Amen. So they had these ideals, what we think. What do you think? Then he asked the disciples in verse number 15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Amen. He said, who do you think I am? He said, okay, you've told me who you think the world, who the world thinks I am. He said, but who do you think that I am? See, what we think, praise God, is where the rubber meets the road. Our ideals mold us. Our ideal, they mold us, they mold society. What we do and what we do and who we are in our lives, praise God, depends on what we think. Hello? Did you ever think about that? Who we are, what we think, praise God, determines who we are. It determines what we're able to accomplish. And when we think that we are the precious, we are the children of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we fall into the envelope of being the children of God. We're blessed beyond measure. God is there, praise God. We're as His representatives on this earth, praise God, so that He can get the glory out of our lives. So it determines who we are. It determines what we do. Amen. What we think is in Christ is determining is a determining force in the world. What we think about the Lord Jesus Christ is a determining force in the world. Peter would say this. He said, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. What does he say? What was Peter saying there? He said, "Well, the world say you're this and that and something and other." But he said, and this is where the rubber meets the road. Who do we think that Jesus is? I know who he is. He's that feller that preacher preaches about every Sunday. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Amen. He's the one that the preacher talks about every Sunday. Well, what do you think? Well, he must be pretty important because the preacher mentions him every Sunday. Amen. I'm not kidding. I mean, this is serious. You know, we mention him every Sunday. We put him out there every Sunday. It's like nobody wants to reach out and get a hold of him and say, okay, if he's that important, I just think I'll go with God. I think I'll just trust in Jesus. He said, these men say he's this and that. He's a prophet. He's a great prophet. He does extraordinary things. He does miracles everywhere he goes. I pray God, he does greater things than John the Baptist. And they all thought John the Baptist was something great. They thought they said he's a great prophet, a man from God. But you say, who do you think I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, he's the promised Messiah. He's the anointing one. He's that one that's sent from God Almighty to us so that we can believe, so we can have a foundation. He is our blessed hope, praise God. He's that was influenced our lives. He influenced our thoughts, our thinking. Amen. Praise God. He's there to help us along the way. He said, thou art the Christ. He said, you're that promise. Amen. Let me tell you something, church. He is that promise today. The Lord Jesus Christ is your promise. He's your promise for health and prosperity and peace and happiness. Amen. You don't get that happiness till you get to all those other things. And happiness depends. I've told you, the whole world is looking for happiness. And Brother Robert, happiness depends on what happens around you. Have you ever noticed you can be just happy-go-lucky 1 minute, driving down the road, you know, singing with your favorite gospel song? Amen. And then next thing you know, boom, 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 you got a flat tire. Amen. Come on. You got a flat tire. You ease off the side of the road. You get out there and look at that thing. And all that happiness is gone. Amen. In just a moment of time, that happiness is gone. Amen. But you know what? If you've got joy and you've got peace of God in your heart, then you know what you do? You stand on the side of the road and you look at that flat tire. You hope you got a spare in the back that's got air in it. Amen. And you go back there and you pop that trunk open and there's that spare. Of course, it may be one of them little old donut things, but hey, praise God, it's in there. And you mash on the side of it, and it's got air in it. Amen. Come on now. And so, praise God. Hey, listen. That what happened? It doesn't affect what happened. Doesn't affect your happiness because, praise God, you've got joy in the Lord, and you You've got that spare tire in the trunk, and that spare tire's got air in it. You know what you do? You just take your little boogie-woogie dance on the side of the road, say, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, for a spare tire. Amen. Glory to God. I say, if we turn our faith and trust in Him, we'll know that He did that. Hey, I have popped the trunk, and how often do you check your spare tire? You do it every month, right? Just like your manual says to. If you do that, raise your hand. That's what I thought. Amen. So you go there and you open that trunk and you got a spare tire, boy, you smile real big, and then you go to mash it and it's flat as a flitter. It's kind of like a lot of people's faith. We put our faith in the world, we put our faith in the things of the world, and we forget to keep our faith in Jesus Christ, and it leaves us flat. Amen. But when we get Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, make Him the priority in our life, praise God, He blows us up. Amen. Praise the Lord. You get so full, you feel like a Goodyear blimp. It ain't because what you eat for dinner either. It's because what you got down inside you, praise God. The Lord God is helping you. That influence is there from the Lord. He said that's it influences our lives. It influences our thinking. Amen. Praise God. We don't want to give the same answer that the world give. We want to have a different answer. Amen. Because Jesus turns this question around. Amen. He turned a general question around about who the world says He is. And He says, ask yourself this question. The general question, it's important. But this personal question is even more important. Amen. He said, who say ye that I am? You're here this morning. Just think of yourself as an individual. You're here before God. Who do you say that Jesus is? He said, well, this is, you know, He's that man that we talk about in Sunday school. He's the one that the preacher preaches about every Sunday. He's the one that Mama tells me, Mom and Daddy tell me I better behave or Jesus will get me. Amen. But who is He to you? Who is He to us? He ought to be the most important thing in our lives because He's that formed us. He's that made us who we should be. The personal question, praise God, is the most important one. Who is Jesus this morning to you? Brother Bill, He's my Lord and Savior. He's the keeper of my soul. He's my shepherd, my chief shepherd, my master shepherd. He's the one that goes before me. He's the one that shows me the way. Amen. I can't make it without Him. I mean, sometimes I get to going on my own. Hello. Now, I know none of you do this. None of you ever just take off on your own and don't take a brief minute to think about the direction God would have you to go. I know you're all more spiritual than me. Okay. But sometimes you get caught up in this world. Hello. And you start going along, praise God, and before you know it, you say, wait a minute, something ain't right about this. Something ain't right about this. Amen. And God begins to direct you and redirect you and refocus you, and you just have to check up. In midstream, amen. Now, this old flesh don't like to do that. His flesh just likes to follow the flesh. But He said, we're not those that are led by the flesh. He said, we are those that are led by the Spirit. Is the Spirit of God in you this morning? He said, be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. That means to be being filled. How do you get filled? You get filled by the Word of God in your heart, in your life, in your mind. And the Holy Spirit ministers that down to you from your head down into your heart. And you got to ask God to give you that tender heart. You know, take that old mechanical, that old hard heart out and put in a heart of flesh. So that we can feel the presence of God. So we can know how real it is. So He asked us this personal question. Amen. The personal question. He said, who say ye that I am? Who would you say that Jesus is today? You know, preacher, Jesus is the Lord of my life. He saved me by His marvelous grace and He's the one that's going to help me and get me to heaven where I'm going to be with Him one day. I'm going to see Him face to face. Amen. Job said, though I die and the skin worms devour my flesh, yet will I see Him with my eyes. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm going to see Him for myself and not another. Praise His holy name. The question He asked, an important question to us. And there's no escaping this question. There's no excuse. There's no neutral answer that's possible. A neutral answer is impossible. Say, who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? Amen? There's no neutral answer. He is the Son of God, the precious Lamb of God. Amen? Either He is the precious Lamb of God or He's an imposter. An absolute imposter. He's not who He said He was. Amen? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you today? Is He the Lamb of God? Or is He God the Lamb? Or is He just an imposter? Somebody you hear about, hear talk about, but He's not the real thing. Amen? I want to tell you tonight, this morning, praise God, He is the real thing. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to Him by the Father, but through the Father, but by Him. He's the only way you can get to heaven. Amen? I think I'll just go with Jesus. How about you? I think I'll just go with the Lord. Peter answers Him. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's that promise from God. He's the promise. He's the only promise we have, praise God. He's the Messiah of the Lord. And he said, Peter, he said, upon this statement, he said, I'm going to build a church. Amen. He said, I'm going to build a church, a called out organization. Folks just like you that believe that I am Him. I am He. Praise God. Do you believe today? Are you a true part of the church? Amen. Praise God. If not, I tell you what I do. I'd get in the day. I wouldn't wait one minute. If I was lost today, if I'd never been saved, I'd get up out of my seat and I'd come down here and I'd say, Lord, the Bible said we've all sinned, come short of glory of God. So you're in the midst of sinners. Amen. You say, well, preacher, are you a sinner? Yeah, I'm just no sinner saved by grace. Amen. I'm apt to mess up before I get through this service. Amen. Except by the help of the Lord, Brother Bobby. Amen. He keeps me. He helps me. He helps me, directs my path. I have to listen to Him. See, that's where we mess up. We say, well, preacher, I just can't. But the world says, well, you just can't do that by yourself. You don't have the capability. And you're right, you can't. But Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, shepherd of your soul. He will direct your path. He'll keep us focused. He'll give us the right answers. You go getting counsel from the world, they'll give you worldly counsel. Amen. How's that work out for you? Amen. How many times are you going to try that before you give up on it? Seek the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said, Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Where does that come from? That comes from heaven. The Holy Spirit helps us to realize. Jesus said in verse number 17 to Peter, He says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Simon son of Jonah. He said, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. But listen, this is how much God loves us. He said, But my Father which is in heaven. He said, My heavenly Father, it's my Father in heaven that revealed this to you. It revealed it. It was a mystery. It was veiled. It was hid. But He has revealed it to you. Amen. Now, Peter wasn't perfect. He was an old sinful fisherman. Amen. You know how old sinful fishermen are? Amen. You know, they lay out of work, go fishing. Amen. Tell their wife tales about where they've been. Amen. Come on now. But he was an old sinful fisherman. Hey, even though he confessed Christ to be the Lord, the Messiah of God, the promise from heaven, he still denied Him three times. Amen. Because He got away from Him. See, we've got to stay close to Him. And then we'll know who He is. We'll know what He wants for us. We know the help that He has to give us. Praise God. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the church. Amen. He said, there's not going to be no kingdom. He said, but there's going to be a church. And He said, I'd like for you to be a part of the church. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning, and I'm done. Has Jesus changed His mind on that? Didn't he say to go in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in? You know what that word in Greek means, that word compel? It means to do whatever it takes to get them there. Brother Bill said when he was growing up and his sister kind of raised him, and he said he had a drug problem. Amen. Said his sister drug him to church. Amen. Thank God for sis, praise the Lord. That got him down. Why? Because she was compelled. She got him down to where he needed to be, and look where he is today. Amen. With the promise of glory, sitting in the house of God, in the church. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, don't ever forsake the church. Don't ever forsake your assembly together. I know you grow up and you get families and you get busy. I realize that. But the church has to be your priority. It has to be the most important part. And if you get away from that chasing other things, you're going to mess up. I see people all the time that things come up, difficulties come up, and the first thing they do, they quit church. And it ought to be the other way around. You ought to get in more. Say, you know what? I'm just going to pull back and I'm just going to focus on the church. I'm going to focus on getting in. I'm going to focus on witnessing and inviting people to church. I'm going to get people around me, praise God, to where there's so many people that love me and love the Lord that the devil can't get to me. Hello? Amen. He just tried to choke me to death. He didn't want me to say that. But I hate the devil. I'm going to tell you, I hate the devil. He don't like me either. Amen. Praise God. But I tell you, I love Jesus Christ, my Savior, and I know He's able to do for me that I need. Just like He's able to do for you, praise God. He wants you to become part of His church. Amen. He wants you to begin a receiving and a giving part of His church. Amen. That's what He wants for us. And He wants to manifest Himself in such a big way that we'll love every aspect of who He is. I don't know about you. I can't get enough of Him. People sometimes say, well, preacher, I just don't want none of this church stuff, you know, it's Bible. Praise God, just tell them to give it to me. Amen. You say, you're greedy. Amen. That's all right, praise God. I'll take all I can get of my good Lord and Savior, praise God, because He's been so good to me. But I don't want to only take, I want to be able to give back. Amen. And we can give back as part of the church. He says this in verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, and said, I say it also unto thee, that thou art Peter. That's just a little rock, a pebble, if you will. And upon this rock, the statement of faith in Christ Jesus, He said, upon that statement, He said, I'll build my church. Amen. A strong church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Praise God. He said, that's what He said. He shall not prevail against it. Amen. He said, we'll come out victorious. Hey, listen, Dave, you don't have to worry about physical death. Hello? Amen. He said, it's just graduation into life, and that everlasting. When you put your faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ, when you become part of His church, partaker with Him in all His magnificent glory. Bless His holy name. Amen.